Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you about this incidence of skin cancer among population using geothermal hot water. And the pattern of this cancer are puzzling us. So we would appreciate in the end if you have ideas or suggestions how to continue with the studies. And I am Wilhelm Rapsson, and I have no relationship to disclose. There are some previous studies on population of geothermal areas or volcanic areas. Dr. Bate in New Zealand and co-workers studied incidence of cancer in Rotorua, and they found an increase in nasal cancer and lung cancer. Rotorua is an urban community located in the southern island of New Zealand. And Pellegrini and co-workers compared population in Sicily according to volcanic activities and found an association with thyroid cancer. And Amaral and co-workers in the Azores, they found an increase in incidence of breast cancer among those with chronic exposure to volcanic environment. And in our previous studies, we found an excess of several cancer sites among those living in high temperature geothermal areas. All these studies which I have mentioned rely on ecological estimation on exposure, and there are several gases involved. The most abundant are carbon dioxide and hydrogen sulfate, but there are also radon there, however in low concentration, and there are some traces of heavy metals too. In Iceland, we use the geothermal hot water for heating, but that doesn't stop there. We also use it to generate warm water. So when we turn on the warm water tap, it means that the geothermal water is aired with the release of the gases. Thus, traces of these gases are contribute to the indoor air climate in many places, and visitors to Iceland, they will easily perceive the rotten egg smell of hydrogen sulfide when they take a bath. But we natives, we don't bother it anymore, we are used to it. The aim was to study the risk of cancer as skin cancer according to morphology and location in the combined population which we have studied in our previous studies. Iceland is in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean in the northern part up here. And the tectonic plates on the North America and Eurasia are moving apart there, so we can observe it in Iceland. There's a great volcanic activity and many geothermal fields in the country. And you see a closer picture of this, the Iceland on the ridge, and the slang says that the mid-Atlantic ridge is going ashore in the south part of Iceland and extending up to the northeast part and leaving the country up to the north. But this is a slang, of course. Our study is based on census from 1981, and we are following our population from that year to the end of 2010 by doing record linkage based on personal identifier with several other registers. The cancer registry is very handy here because this is a cancer incidence study, and the cancer registry is an old one from 1954, and it is with 95% histologically confirmed diagnosis. And we need also to combine our material with the national registry and the national cause of death registry to be able to registrate if a person emigrates or if they die, because we cannot follow them after these dates. The logic is that you don't get cancer after you have died, and the cancer registry doesn't follow you if you move abroad. The ex-post cohort in our study are those who are using geothermal hot water, and these were identified as individuals living in 9 communities which enjoy geothermal district heating since 1972. We identified 2 comparison population without such old geothermal heating. The division of these groups were in 2 groups according to the age of the bedrock in Iceland. The younger bedrock with volcanic activities was called the warm reference area, and the older bedrock communities was called the cold reference area. And this map shows the age of the bedrock in Iceland. In the brown area in the middle, the bedrock is less than 1 million years old, and in the green areas, the bedrock is up to 3.3 million years old, and the light brown areas, the bedrock is 15 million years old. The white areas on the map are the glaciers, and all the dots, black and red, are geothermal fields. And this map shows the division of the communities according to community codes in 4 categories. First, we have the exposed area with the geothermal district heating since 1972. And these are 9 communities which are to be seen on the maps in the lower corner and in the upper corner here. And the second division was the cold reference area on the east and west side of the country, which are definitely precluded from the volcanic active areas in the middle, and these are marked with brown, called warm areas in the south and north on the youngest bedrock. The green area in the lower corner here is the capital and the southwest peninsula, and we excluded this area. We did that because these areas have shown the well-known capital effect in the cancer registry. By capital effect is meant that the capitals and larger cities have higher cancer incidence than other parts of countries. And this slide is showing the baseline characteristics of the exposed cohort in the hot area and in the 2 reference area, and here are these characteristics, and they are fairly similar between these areas. There were no difficulties to make adjustment for these variables in the Cox model. And this slide is showing the melanoma among men and women in the exposed area with the geothermal hot water supply compared to the 2 reference area according to all melanomas and divided on body location down here. And we see that the hazard ratio is on average for all melanoma as well as for the different body locations. And we see that the highest frequency of melanoma is on the trunk, as is similarly found in other cancer studies. And here we see the results concerning squamous skin cancer among men and women, and also here we have a comparison between the exposed area with the 2 reference area, and we see that the hazard ratio is near unity, and with the lower numbers in the different body locations, with the highest number of frequency in face, head, neck, and neck, similarly as found in other cancer studies. But it's different concerning basal cell carcinoma, which are shown on these slides. Here we have a high hazard ratio compared to the warm and to the cold area when we look at all basal cell carcinoma, and we see that it's high compared with the, in the other body location, particularly for trunk and for overlapping and unspecified sites. If we look at the location of the basal cell carcinoma compared to what we see in New Hampshire and Arizona, divided between men and women, you see that when we divide it on the body locations, that there is something strange with trunks among those in hot area in Iceland, as well as for women, we have higher percentages there than in both New Hampshire and Arizona. And the same pattern is here when we compare the basal cell carcinoma in our exposed area among men and among women. When we compare them to warm and cold reference area, it is the trunk which has the highest frequency both among men and women. To the strength of our study, we count the use of the registries and the personal identifier, which enable us to ensure a complete follow-up for nearly 30 years. And I have to tell you also that the information on the histology of cancer in this study are 100%. You have to differ between very malignant melanoma and skin cancer with good prognosis like basal cell carcinoma. So there is none without histological confirmation here. The weakness of the study is, of course, the lack of information of individual exposure to the mode and magnitude of the ground gas emission in the geothermal area, and also of the content, exact content of the geothermal hot water. However, we know that the exposed population have been in intimate contact with the geothermal water for decades. The geothermal hot water is never used as a drinking water. It's full smelling and bad tasting. In our future studies, we are asking for information on the length of residency from the Statistics Iceland and from Data Protection Commission. I just want to mention some risk factors to skin cancer. Melanoma risk seem to be associated with intermittent exposure to sunlight and UV radiation, while squamous and basal cell carcinoma are associated with chronic sunlight and UV radiation exposure. The rising incidence worldwide of these three types of skin cancer are attributed to increased outdoor activity, change in clothing styles, increased longevity, and ozone depletion, and in some cases, immune suppression. The association of arsenic and basal cell carcinoma is well known nowadays, and the exposure is thought to be through drinking water. The atomic bomb survivors had an increased incidence of basal cell carcinoma and to some extent also squamous cell skin cancer. Patients who have received total body irradiation, thus in the very high ionizing radiation dose, have increased incidence of malignant melanoma. Basal cell carcinoma have been associated with radon exposure in one study on underground miners and in archaeological studies on residents in South England. In the present study, we have controlled for many social and lifestyle factors. These are not parallel increase in all types of skin cancer here. Basal cell carcinoma is the only type with increased ratio. So excessive sun bathing or exposure to UV radiation among the hot water user as compared to the reference population is unlikely to be confounding these results. Need of further studies on the component and concentration of the geothermal water is obvious, and possible other environmental factors. And as I said in the beginning, we would appreciate suggestion how to continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Rasmussen. Now I'd ask the speakers to come up and we'll have an open forum for everyone. Are there any questions? Yes.
Descriptives of whether or not there were differences in stages, and I believe at in the rural populations they were diagnosed at a later stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that is a place for improvements in care.
Other questions? Well, if there's no questions from the audience, I'll go ahead and pose my question. I have the first one is for Dr. McGee. So the question I have is, you mentioned that African Americans and white had were the same or nearly the same as far as diagnoses. As in your information, I think yours was 2. One was 6.7, the other one was 7.4. In terms of screening. In the treatment, okay. I may not have written it down all, though. And I was wondering, my question was more if you could speculate why you think that they were comparable, when in generally we would expect to see more differences between the two groups.
Mm-hmm. 30 days.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a speculation. I will throw that out there. This is not, I'm putting you on the spot, but you know, this is to speculate. I know from maybe perhaps the literature that you reviewed and just the other things that you did, if that you had a hypothesis as to why that might be. Any other questions? I'll pose one more. And before I pose the question, I will admit that I have a disclosure in the sense that I do, this is for Monique, I am aware of the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Center. I've actually worked with them previously, and so, and the DMSS and the data that they work with. So I want to disclose that in asking this question before I do. I have several questions, but I won't ask you all of them. I'll take them offline because of just the background that I have. But one thing I was interested in when you were looking at the information, well, it's kind of a two-part question. The first one is, and I understand a little bit of this, but I thought it might be helpful for everyone, for others, so I won't lead you to what I was thinking, but you talked about the services, but you pretty much mentioned the Army. And if you could say why the Army in particular is why is what is your reference that you would go back to, one. And then the two I was looking at is if you stratified by the services, because they all do have different cultures. And you mentioned that the Army has, I think you said there's a regular, they have to get tested regularly, but you didn't mention anything similar for the other services. And so if you could just mention those items together, that'd be great. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
A question related to that. Is there a possibility that you're not capturing the cancer diagnosis itself because they moved out of active duty, even though they're screened as part of your study?
So
more likely to not be able to, you might be diagnosed with cervical cancer. So I guess the population is kind of different also from the civilian population in terms of all women. It's not just African American women, but white women, Hispanic women, everybody who starts is being screened early. So I think that that's also something to take a look at. But yes, that probably, we don't have veteran data either. So we deal with active duty service members, reserves, and their beneficiaries. We don't have access to veteran data. And I think that that's something that they're probably going to be moving into in the future. In the next year, we're going to actually merge and create a Department of Defense Health Agency. So AFHSC is going to be with two or three other organizations that are already collecting this data. And I have a feeling that they're going to want to eventually start to partner and see what Veterans Affairs is doing. But right now, we don't necessarily publish information on that. So it's probably going to come in the near future. I don't have access to that data.
Could you just say how many people became veterans?
Well, we're doing only with active duty service members. So I'm looking at all segments of deployment, any type of service within what, and if they're serving, even if they went between services, because some people switch services, I'm capturing all of those women. So I don't know if I'm answering.
I think you would know, but you do know when they leave the service and thus become a veteran. They do have that information. There is a center out there that collects it.
When they finish, but I also have all of the segments in between, you know? So that's interesting too, yeah. I'm catching on that.
Any other questions? If none, the presenters will be up here standing by, so you can ask them directly. And I'll yield back the remainder of the presentation time for your day. So enjoy your afternoon, and thank you.